Hello and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich. The president's policies on refugee immigration and travel are being tested in the lawsuit to stop his executive order, now with Hawaii versus Trump on pause, pending the results of a federalist government appeal of the injunction. Where does that leave families and individuals already caught in the system? And what of the push for sanctuary resolutions? Immigration attorney Claire Hannes is already working on behalf of a Maui woman set for deportation. She says the Venegas case could be the beginning of Trump's immigration policy in Hawaii. Claire Hannes is in our studio with us today. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks. Nice to be here.
There is so much swirling around the issues of immigration, immigration policy, the travel ban, all of that, that it's easy to conflate many of those things. As you now look at this sort of strange little place that we're in now, where you're already working with certain clients, clearly the one that we've been talking about that's been much in the news this week, as well as what we may see happening a month hence, where is that leaving a lot of these families who are already moving through the system or potentially at risk? And also when they hear about issues of creating sanctuaries potentially, or what that might mean with some of the resolutions that we've seen put forth.
Right. There is a lot to unpack. And I think it's important to remember that when we talk about immigration policy and President Trump's executive orders and how that's affecting us here on the ground, that there were actually three separate executive orders that were issued in January related to immigration. And they're connected, but they're also in some ways very separate and distinct. We have the memo on interior enforcement that talks about sanctuary jurisdictions and could have potentially a larger impact on our local community. And then on January 22nd, he came out with two executive orders, one related to the travel ban and one related to border security and the kind of build the wall movement. So while the travel ban works its way again through the courts, we have the issue of interior enforcement, and that's what those of us who work with local immigrant communities are really concerned about, how the agenda of the Trump administration, which has kind of sent mixed messages about how it's going to treat kind of people without criminal histories, parents, DACA recipients, which are people who were brought to the United States as children,
the
and
dreamers.
Have the dreamers, and now have a kind of temporary reprieve from deportation, although it's not a legal status. It's very interesting, kind of location by location, state by state, and Immigration Customs Enforcement district by district, how individuals within the system are being treated. And so we had a case yesterday where there was a mother of three from Maui who was scheduled to report for deportation, despite the fact that she had her case is still open in the immigration court system. There's an appeal pending at the Board of Immigration Appeals. And this for me was sort of a test case, whether or not local immigration customs enforcement officials were going to take a very heavy-handed approach to her case, or whether they were going to, as they've often done in before, kind of balance the equities and decide, looking at the equities, whether she's a flight risk or a danger to society, whether they would release her. Thankfully, she was released. So that's an encouraging sign for those of us working locally. Another issue that's being looked at very and worked on very proactively by local immigration advocates are resolutions going through the city council right now, and also through the state legislature, two different resolutions that talk about Hawaii as a welcoming place, basically a pushback against the Trump administration agenda, which is kind of divide and conquer immigrant communities.
But that agenda also had with it some purse strings.
Right. And so this was also part of the executive order that was issued on January 25th, and specifically talks about sanctuary jurisdictions, which, again, sanctuary jurisdictions doesn't mean that anyone living within one of these areas or communities is protected from from anything, any kind of immigration enforcement. But it generally means that local jurisdictions will not cooperate with an immigration agenda. They will not act as immigration enforcement.
So are those jurisdictions, including Hawaii, that are not actively cooperating in real jeopardy of losing federal funding?
We don't know. It's interesting. There are agreements. There are only nationwide right now 37 counties or areas that have affirmative law enforcement relationships with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Compare those 37 to 4 states, 39 cities, and 364 counties nationwide who have said, we are not going to enforce immigration law. We are not going to have our local police acting as immigration agents. So there's a lot of pushback nationwide by states as large as California and then some smaller states. And so mayors have come out very strongly saying if they're federal funding is jeopardized based on their decisions not to enforce immigration laws by their own law enforcement officials, they will challenge that in the court. They feel very strongly that that's unconstitutional. So if Hawaii goes along as declaring itself as a state or as counties not enforcing immigration laws, we're in very good company. With other states and municipalities that are also pushing back.
As all this is happening at both the state and city and county levels, where does that leave, though, the families who are looking at these letters that they find threatening to their very being here, similar to the case of the woman that we've been talking about the past couple of days? How do you look at some of this with these people and try to maybe mitigate what they're being told and how they're being told about their status?
Right. Well, when people have exhausted most of their administrative appeals and are kind of towards the end of the line in the court system, again, Immigration and Customs Enforcement will often issue these letters to either report in regularly, say every 6 months or a year, just to keep tabs on where people are, or to report for deportation. In some places across the United States, people have been so afraid to report, who have reported generally before, that they are seeking sanctuary within churches. And so local churches here in Hawaii are actively discussing whether or not they will open their doors to sanctuary for these families. And actually for this mother, that's something that I discussed with her.
We talked about that on the show when we were looking at what St. Elizabeth's Church was
right.
choosing to do, and they've been spearheading that with Reverend Gerlach. But beyond just the sanctuary and of the long-time held sanctuary within churches or other houses of worship, what goes on with some of these people now? What should they be doing? Are they feeling heartened by the fact that there's so much happening that may drastically affect their position?
I think people are... people who are in this situation are definitely encouraged by the amount of community support that has come out to rally with them and their causes. I think people who were feeling very isolated and alone will hopefully feel a little less alone and know that as they try to work through in their own head their options, they have people who, attorneys and advocates on almost all the islands who are available to call for assistance. And that if they need community support, if they need, we had a number of pastors who came out yesterday, even if people need help as far as, say, paying a bond so that they can get out and be with their families, there were people who were willing to come forward and actually open their wallets and pay for that. So I think that represents kind of the best of Hawaii as a welcoming place. And I think that's an important message for immigrants to know and for law enforcement, immigration enforcement to know that they're not operating in a vacuum.
Some real heartening words there and a sense of aloha that we don't really hear about all that much until it's truly challenged in this way. Well, we're going to hope for the best for Mrs. Venegas, and we'll hear more from you as we move through this and wait to see what happens with the Hawaii versus Trump appeal.
Thank you
so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Claire Hannes is an immigration attorney at Damon Key Leung Kupchak and Hastert in Honolulu and is a founding member of the Hawaii Coalition for Immigration Reform.